Ezra is a father figure who wants to take all the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, back to Jerusalem and to change their heart. And the way of doing that is to reintroduce worship for them in a profound and a powerful way. And we probably all remember the parable of a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and 99 are safe, and one wanders off. Do we remember that parable? So he goes looking for the one who has wandered off, and when he finds this lamb, the sheep that's off by himself, he picks up the sheep, the lamb, puts it on his shoulders, carries the lamb back to the flock, and welcomes him back to this wonderful family of sheep that's there. That's not Ezra. The parable of Ezra is this. Ezra has 100 sheep, and 100 wander off. And there's no way that he can carry 100 sheep on his shoulders back. How does he lead them back? And it's the idea of creating a new heart from within them. In that little puppet sketch, it's the story of Israel one more time being caught up in captivity, way back from Egypt to Assyria to Babylon, and now to this humongous nation called Persia. And there were a variety of kings in Persia, but they all accepted the nation's religion that are now under the rule of Persia. And Persia was a very pagan nation, meaning they worshipped multiple gods. But kings like Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes welcomed all of the nations to return to their homeland and to worship the way that they wanted. They thought it would add culture to this great big nation. What's really interesting in the story of Ezra is that King Artaxerxes stands before the people of God and says to them, "Your God has spoken to me to say to you to go back to Jerusalem and to worship again as God's children," which I find fascinating. A king who doesn't believe in one God, who believes in multiple gods, gets a message from God, the God, to tell Israel to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the walls around it, lay the foundation of the temple, and begin to worship again. I mean, it's just amazing how God uses anyone to get his message through. And so, cutting through all of that history, there are a group of them that go back, and they begin to lay the foundation of the temple. And they have what they call a dedication service. What would be the worship that would change people's hearts to return to God? It's all about the heart of worship. And it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Well, in this case, in the Old Testament, it's all about God and the return of Israel. Now, just picture in your mind with me, you have thousands of Israelites who are on this long journey with the permission of the king to go back to Jerusalem and to reintroduce worship, and you have some older grandma and grandpa type people who remember what worship was like. And they hadn't worshiped in years and years and years. And they would tell the stories to their children about what worship was like. But they themselves hadn't worshiped for so long for a variety of reasons. Now they've come back. They've got themselves into Jerusalem. They've laid the foundation of the temple. And they have their first worship service, which is a dedication to the future of worship. And I just want you to read with me this beautiful dedication service, Ezra chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. So when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph. Just stop there. When you read through the Psalms, you'll often find those names, the sons of Asaph. They wrote many of the Psalms. With cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel, which is really so cool. Okay, next verse, please. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. Powerful music. He is good. His love to Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Next verse. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping because the people made so much noise, and the sound was heard far away. What a powerful reintroduction to worship. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but you may have gone to a worship service on occasion where for some particular reason, your heart was stirred more than maybe it ever has. And there could be a variety of reasons for that. And typically, in any kind of worship service, there are a group of people, especially when there's lots of powerful music, powerful singing, there are a group of people who are just providing that powerful music, providing all of that great, great sound and noise. And in the midst of all of that, there are people with tears. There's something about the music that can so touch a person's heart that there can be joy and there can be shouting and it can be victory, but also can be so powerful to say, I haven't been giving this to God for years. God created each one of us to be touched. And one of the ways that we can touch the heart of God and that God's heart can touch us is through worship. And just watch children. They worship all the time. They sing all the time. It's a powerful experience. And as a father figure, that's what Ezra does. How am I going to get all these people back to connect with God? Ah, worship. And he did. And it became a profound experience. Some of you have heard me tell this story numerous times, and it's one of my favorites, and it's powerful because of the message. And some of you have read many writings, many books by the wonderful author Anne Lamott. And Anne tells her own personal story of she was on a spiral downward. She had no real connection with God. And one particular weekend, she knew that she was probably toward the end of her life. She was in a fog of alcohol, speed, cocaine, and she was just outside of herself. And she just kind of wandered around. And in this little community, Marin City in California, she went to a flea market one Saturday and not even really knowing what she was doing. And so she decided she'd come back the next day. And so Sunday, she's kind of walking around still in this fog. And she says in her autobiography, wonderful autobiography, Traveling Mercies, I heard some noise that wouldn't leave me alone. And she said, I followed the noise and I came to an old ramshackle, broken down church. And the music, she said, was glorious. And so she said, I stood outside of the church and I listened. And as I listened, something that was rotting and smelly and stale in my heart changed to something tender something growing and something that I knew I had since I was a child but never allowed it to live. And I listened to the music. So she said, I always think this is funny because of my occupation. So she said, I'm going to go to church next Sunday, and I'm going to go to that church. And so she got there early enough, and in that church, the preaching comes first. And she said, I was so disappointed with the preaching. She said, it wasn't very good. But the music, she said, the music changed my life forever. The heart of God touched my heart, and my heart touched his. And I will never be the same again. Worship has a way of just being able to connect and let those emotions that God has given us flow back to him and have those emotions come back to us. So as I close, I think Ezra as a father figure enjoyed what it was to be a father, because most fathers, they just want their children to be happy and maybe even for a day just to spend some time with them. Well, Ezra did something like that. He created a flow of worship that changed hundreds of thousands of lives. And to this day, our wonderful Jewish friends, they know how to praise God in the temple. And the Bible tells us that each one of us, that we are the temple of God, that the Holy Spirit lives here. And this temple, your temple, can be an expression of praise to God. Sometimes contemplative, sometimes hands held high in praise, and sometimes a time of weeping. But it's our heart that's being touched. And fathers love it when their children's hearts are touched and move back to the Father. Thank you.